assurance of your own salvation. If you're not sure you're saved, then obviously you ought not be going. And that's something that you might struggle with. And maybe somebody in here struggles with that, and you're doubting your salvation. We can certainly talk about that. I can tell you right now that Satan wants us to doubt our salvation. But as you grow in the Lord, and as you get closer to the Lord, and as you need the Lord and require the Lord, you will find yourself growing and not having the doubts if you are saved. Now, if you're not saved, then obviously you need to recognize that and get saved. But if there's a lack of assurance of your salvation, that's going to be hard for you to go. If you're not even sure you're saved. And then secondly, knowing God's word. If you're going to go and teach all nations, you got to know the word of God. Now, you don't have to know all of it. You don't even have to know half of it. You don't even have to know three quarters of it or one quarter of it. You just need to know a portion of it, and that is, how did you get saved? And we have tracts, and we have lots of them. And I'll tell you what, it happens to me all the time. I kick myself because I didn't have a tract in my pocket on a certain day at a certain time. And so I try to make sure I have tracts in my pocket. Now, sometimes I put just a few in because sometimes the pocket I have, it's kind of bending them a little bit, so I'll keep them more of them in my truck and I'll just have one or two in the pocket. But to have that ready to go so I can talk to someone about the Lord. But I don't need a tract to talk to someone about the Lord, but sometimes it's easier if I hand something to them. It gives me something to talk about. So when it comes to tracts, it's important that you take time to check out what we have and to review. Someone called it the Romans Road, and we go through it a little bit later tonight, but it's just the different ways of leading someone to the Lord. This Amazing Grace track is not the Romans Road. It's something else. It's got the story of how the Amazing Grace song was written, and then it has different verses that are not in Romans, and so that's good to know. This was a much simpler one, How to Get to Heaven from South Dakota. It's very simple, very short, but it has an attractive, interesting front cover with the Mount Rushmore on it. This here is an interesting one. This is a business card size, and it has that QR code on it, which is the new thing now. You take your phone and you take a picture of that code, and it turns into a video, and boom, all of a sudden a video starts playing on your phone. And what I like about this size is it fits perfectly in the credit card slot at the gas station. I never go in. I always pay at the pump. And whether you pay at the pump or not, have these in your car and slide one in there, because whoever's got to use the next is going to have to pull it out. And after they pull it out, they just might take their phone and go and start watching a video. There's actually two of them on here. There's one that leads you to the video that we made here a couple years ago that our church made, that I made. And then there's another one that some friends of ours, in fact, we pray for Pastor Manly Perry. His church made this other one on there, and it's more professionally done. But the point is, it's directions to heaven. Now, on there, you watch it, and you can learn the better ways of talking to someone about salvation yourself. And so it's not just for other people to read tracts or other people to watch it. It's also for you and I to remind ourselves of what the gospel is and how to share the gospel. Because what happens if we don't have clear messages in our gospel? How about we start saying things like this? You got to have faith. And if you say that here in Custer County, they might think you're talking about a realtor. Or they might think you're talking about faith in what? Now I agree that you got to have faith. But is that good enough? Is that clear? It's not clear. So faith in what? Everybody's got faith. Even the evolutionist has faith. And so we got to recognize, what does that mean? And so we need to be able to be knowledgeable about and communicating what we're saying. And so if someone says, well, I've got faith, in my timid way, I might say, oh, that's wonderful. Well, I didn't really clear anything up there. What do they have faith in? Their baptism? In their church membership? What do they have faith in? So that's not good enough. I mean, I'm not saying they're not saved because I don't know yet, but I don't know yet. I mean, that doesn't clear anything. Or another one, you just got to believe. And even believe in God. That doesn't mean they're saved because they believe in God. Someone said in James, the devil believes there's a God, but that doesn't mean he's saved. And so we have to be knowledgeable about what is it we're telling them. So, number one, we have to go. It says, go ye therefore, but go with the understanding that we are saved, with assurance of our own salvation. And I got that a long time ago. Now, there was a time in my younger years where I doubted my own salvation. I found out what causes you not to doubt your salvation. When you start having challenges and issues in your life and you need God to prove himself and teach you things and show you things. And those things help to secure the fact I am saved. I remember probably the first time I remember the Holy Spirit saying, "Hey, dummy, you are saved. Look what you're doing right now." It was when I was praying for my friend Billy's dad to get saved. And when Billy's dad came to church one night, I was so excited, and I was praying the whole time while Billy's dad was sitting in the preaching service. And about that time, the Holy Spirit said, "You wouldn't be praying for him if you weren't saved. You wouldn't be worried about him." And it was just a reassurance. Hey, and so over time, I started to not have so many doubts as I started to realize that I'm thinking about what the Holy Spirit's thinking about. I'm in tune with what he's in tune with. I'm in tune with what God wants. And so I start having a less of a doubt as I started seeing victory in my life and challenges met and overcome. But if you have a lack of assurance of your salvation, that's something you need to work on and deal with. And then also the knowledge of the Word of God. Not enough to preach a sermon, but enough to simply give the gospel through, like we have one of these tracts here. The last time I shared the gospel with somebody was about 2 weeks ago, and it was right over there in about the third row. And I didn't know the person. I didn't even have a tract with me. I just had my Bible, which is enough. And through the Bible, I was able to go through Romans and Ephesians and different places and show them the Word of God. And they were able to understand salvation and be saved. You know, Haley and Aaliyah could even understand enough Bible to tell someone how to be saved. They could. I hear them talking about all kinds of things. Their dad could tell someone how to be saved. Everybody in here can tell someone how to be saved. We can, and we should. That's what we're supposed to be doing. We're supposed to go. And so you have to go, and if you're not going, it's disobedience. So let me ask you, do you ever go? Do you ever go? We have scheduled times to go. Have you ever gone on one of those scheduled times? Are you ashamed to go? Are you ashamed of the church? Are you ashamed of the pastor? Are you ashamed of the gospel? We need to go. That's why we schedule those times, to remind ourselves to go and to set up times to go. And as it gets warmer and lighter out now, we can go in the evening and not just on Saturday. I know some churches that go on Sunday afternoon between their morning and their afternoon evening service, they have a time to go. Of course, you can be going on your own, but a lot of times, if we don't go together, we're probably not going on our own. The point, though, is that we need to go. And it's encouraging when you go with someone else. That's a blessing, too. I want to encourage you to go. If we're not going, we're disobeying God. Because he said to go. That's the last thing he said. Go. When we go, you know what happens? Like, for instance, our Sunday school teachers have a rotation of going to visit the families whose children ride our van. I like to do the rotation because I just want all of us to keep in mind and to be aware of the families and the situations that they have in their life. And to help us to be more aware of maybe their needs and to keep contact with them. When I go and talk to the families, I try to talk to the parents and I try to remember their first name and talk to them about the things in their life. And even though we had a blizzard a couple of Sundays ago, we had a parent come that Sunday. And I've asked that parent to come. And I've asked not just me, but others have. We gain spiritual understanding of how God can use us when we go. I know why we don't go, because we're afraid. It's funny, I've been listening to politicians lately, and I heard this phrase said this past week: go door knocking. And of course they're talking about campaigning and talking about their but you know what, you and I can do that for a whole lot better campaign. And so the go door knocking, we gain spiritual understanding of how God can use us. I don't know if you've ever had this experience, but I've had the experience where someone got saved and I'm like, I can't believe God used me. I was so full of doubts this morning. And
Now, I got to be careful that all of a sudden I don't think it's me. Well, I must be a lot better than I thought I was.
No, that's not it. It's God. So we gain a spiritual understanding. And then, not only that, but somebody, certain as can be, there's going to be a time where someone's going to ask you a question and you don't have the answer. And that's good for you. Because you go back home and you're like, I got to find the answer to that. That person, that Jehovah's Witness knew the Bible better than I did. They talk circles around me. Or something like that. Or that Catholic asked me questions I couldn't answer. Or that person. And listen, it helps us. We learn. We actually grow. If you're wondering maybe why you don't grow like you should, I do think this is part of it. Because the whole point of growing is for this reason. If you're not going to be reproductive, why would God want you to grow? The purpose of growing is to reproduce. That's the whole point of a tree growing. That's the whole point of a plant growing, is the reproductive part. So if there's no intention to reproduce, then maybe there's no growth. But you know what else happens when you go? You see how hopeless humanity is. Did you know that we have children that come to our church? In fact, some were in the building here not too long ago, a couple hours ago. They are just in very low grade of elementary. They're in the low grades of the grade school. But they've already tasted beer. I know because they've talked about it. They've said it. I've heard them talk or say something. Most of the kids that I know on a daily basis assume that moms and dads do not stay married for a long time or never do get married. They just refer to them as girlfriend, boyfriend. Or my mom is over here and my dad's over here. Or this, that's just normal in their life. You know what happens when you go? It softens your heart. You know what happens when you don't go and you stay in your own little world? You get a hard heart, a calloused heart. But when you see how hopeless and how broken things are, it burdens you. That's what Nehemiah did. He rode around Jerusalem and it just broke his heart when he saw how broken everything was. And it causes us to have compassion. And Jude 22 says, and of some have compassion, making a difference. We have a song in our hymnal, Compassion Makes a Difference. And the compassion comes when you are there. And, sometimes we don't see kids for a while. That doesn't mean they don't exist. I was talking to Max a couple hours ago. He said he wants to go to camp. I hope he does. Hope he'll come to VBS. But you know, going and talking to families and dealing with issues, it helps us to, I'll tell you what, it'll help you to pray better and have a heart that is more soft and have compassion. Jesus never did sin and Jesus never got spotted up with sin. But I'll tell you what, Jesus hung around some pretty lousy characters because he wanted to reach them. He wanted to save them. And he wanted to talk to them when nobody else would talk to them. And that comes from going. Going isn't about always having success immediately. Don't ever think if we have a visitation time or you do and you go out, we go out together and nothing happened. That doesn't mean nothing happened. Something did happen. And never think that it's a waste of time because first of all, he said to do it. So it's not a waste of time. And you ain't going to get better at it unless you do it. I know that. And so we need to recognize that God's heart is that we soul win. And that's why we call it soul winning. Proverbs chapter 11 verse 30 says, the fruit of the righteous is the tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. Now, I do know that there are some people in this world, some people even in churches kind of like ours, that I think maybe they are maybe a little bit too aggressive in what they're trying to do, and maybe they're so interested in getting someone to pray a prayer so they can count them as another number, and we need to be careful we don't ever get to that, because it's not about numbers or whatever. But we so much want them to get saved. I get it. I understand. But I'll be honest with you. I think winning someone takes more than just a 15-minute conversation the first time you ever met them. But how do we start that? I mean, if I go and knock on someone's door, I talk to someone and I invite them to church and we have a cordial conversation, I ask them about their salvation, they don't really want to talk about it, so I say, hey, could I just leave that with you? You can read that. But I do my best to leave the door open, to leave the bridge not burned, you know? Rather than, you don't want to get saved? Well, you're going to go to hell. Well, probably I just burned the bridge for the next person that wants to come along and talk about that, because obviously I was being selfish and I'm not really interested. I do think that watermelons or maybe tomatoes are a good example of, just because you want one to be ripe doesn't mean it's ready yet. And you might need to give it a tug, and if it's not ready, you know, some of these green thumbs in here, they can tell you, don't yank hard, just wait a little longer. But that doesn't mean you didn't help win them. And wait till the next time. And you know, it's pretty disappointing if your child comes in and they've got a whole bucket full of green tomatoes that are about that big. And it's June. You know? That's too early. You need to be patient. And this thing of winning souls is a patient thing. I won my wife. I didn't do it in 15 minutes. You're looking at me saying, must have took you long. It probably did. Mr. Spear, I'm sure it took years. But you got to understand that winning souls is not necessarily going to always. If it is 15 minutes, it's because somebody else did a bunch of winning before you met them. Okay? I really believe that. I think that sometimes when we see someone get saved, and it's probably because behind the scenes there's other things going on we didn't know about. So if you're going to have a burden for people, you're going to have to go after souls. I do think it's kind of hypocritical that we pray for people to get saved, but then we don't really do anything. Because he says go. And so we need to go. The Bible says in Psalm 126, verse 5 and 6, they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. Psalm 126, verse 6 says, he that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bring his sheaves with him. You know, I have wept over people. I can think of someone right now. I wept over them. I cried, and people in this room have seen me cry, brokenhearted for them. And you know what happened? They stopped coming to church at all. I mean, they just kind of drifted, went out of state, just not even around, and but you know what? They come to church now. Yeah. Now, it took a decade probably or more, but they come to church now. They were here just last week. And I think sometimes we need to beg God, ask God to help us to cry for people, cry for souls, and then remember that just because we cried doesn't mean he's going to answer it the next week. We need to be patient. Lamentations 3 verse 51 says, my eye affected my heart. That's why I do think we need to go. Because if we knew some of the background story to some of the people we deal with and the young people, we'd be a little different in our attitude towards them. I know for me, that's a huge thing. I heard some young ladies talking earlier tonight in the van, and I stopped them, and I just very graciously corrected them and told them I didn't think they should talk like that. But I didn't chew them out or rip their head off. But I've learned, and I'm still learning, that I didn't grow up the way others grew up, and I have to recognize that. So go, and when you go, it'll fix your cold heart, hard-hearted, joyless life And you'll start to recognize a world you never knew before, and you'll see things you never knew before. The disciples came back from lunch out to the well, and they couldn't believe that he was talking with the Samaritan woman. And not only that, but they said, "Lord, we brought you some lunch." And he said, I've already eaten. He said, I had spiritual food just now. He said, what I just experienced is way better than whatever lunch you had. And you know what? They totally missed out on that because they didn't want to talk to her. But he said, I'm going. He said, I know she's going to be there at noon, and I'm going to go talk to her. And we're missing blessings because we don't go. Number two, teach. So if we're going to teach, we're going to figure out what to teach and be a personal soul winner and teaching them. Teach all nations, even the nations we don't like. I hope there isn't any nation you don't like. The world and the media tries to whip us into all kinds of hatred all the time. But teach all nations. The Bible tells us we are to be witnesses. As a matter of fact, over in Luke chapter 24, if you want to turn with me there, Luke 24, and Jesus is talking about the fact that he just died, then rose again. He's back alive now. He just rose from the grave, and he's meeting with his disciples, and they're in shock, and they just can't believe what they're seeing. And he says in Luke 24, verse 45, then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures, and said to them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. I love what Clarence Sexton says concerning this. He says, you really can't witness until you've witnessed. What does that mean? You can't witness until you have witnessed. Until you've witnessed it for yourself, you can't witness it to somebody else. A witness is somebody who saw something or who felt something, who did something. And a witness is someone who got saved first of all. And then after you got saved, you're sharing it with somebody else. And that's exactly what we're supposed to do. Tell them how you got saved. And it might not be a very exciting story, but it's your story and it will speak to them. Tell them how to get saved and how you were born again and how that they can be born again as well. Teach all nations. Teach them to be Republicans. No, we can talk about that way down the road. In fact, I'm not even sure. Well, anyway, we need to recognize that that's not what... Teach them that they need to sit up straight in church and dress nice. No, what is it we're teaching them? Teaching them the gospel. That's the main thing. Teaching them the simple gospel. But what if they chew or smoke? Or what if they do all... who cares? That's not... We'll deal. God will deal with that later. Just teach them the gospel. Teach them the truth. Tell them that's the main thing right now, okay? And but what if they have a Joe Biden bumper sticker? That's why you got to teach them the gospel. Okay? All right? That's why they got to get saved. No. Seriously, teach them the gospel. Ignore all that stuff. Man, if that gets you wound up, you're just wound up over the wrong thing. See people that need to be saved rather than some other issue. Okay, just see people who need to be saved. And then it says, teach them, teach all nations. Step three, baptizing. It's not step one. Make sure they know it has nothing to do with them getting saved. It's after they get saved. And that, of course, identifies them with Christ and with all of us as a local church. We have some that need to be baptized. We have some that just got baptized recently. And so go, teach all nations, baptize them. And then back in Matthew 28, it says in verse 20, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even now. Now, this is the teaching where we start to deal with everything. And that requires you to come to church. That requires them to have to go to church and learn and have Bible study and then learn and grow and read. And how many of us in here could say, man, I was going to church for a couple of years and all of a sudden it was like the Holy Spirit clubbed me upside the head and I realized there was something I wasn't doing right. Well, that's all of us. And we grow and we learn. And I like this too. I think this is very true. Our job isn't finished until the evangelized become evangelists. In other words, I'm not satisfied until the people that I led to the Lord start telling other people how to get saved. When I see that the people that I saw get saved, when I see them leading someone else to the Lord, then I feel like they're mature. They're reproducing now. This is the goal. This is the end game, is that we reproduce and that we see it start all over again. So don't say, they got saved, and then never even bother to see them get baptized or go to church. That happens a lot. I see people, they come, I led 4 people to the Lord this week. And maybe they did. Maybe they got saved. But where are they? Because it says more than just get them saved, doesn't it? It says see them baptized, see them added to the church. I mean, that's part of it. So where are they? You left them out there? Well, maybe if they were passing through and they were from out of town, I understand that. Can't do anything about that. Maybe they died. That's happened. Seen people saved and they die before they can get baptized. But if they're right here, we ought to be helping them to find the next step and get on track. And we ought not be satisfied until those that we evangelized are now evangelizing themselves, also doing evangelizing someone else. So, obviously then, the 4 failures we have is the same thing. We just don't go. We fail to go. And we got to change that. We got to figure out what we can do. I as I drive through the schoolyard with the school bus and I see families, and I'm just always thinking about, and right now my thoughts are Vacation Bible School. And I said something to someone recently. They said, Pastor, where's so-and-so? And I said, well, hopefully we can get them to come to Vacation Bible School. That's, you know, I just have goals for them. And goals for camp or whatever. And just praying and hoping that we can see that person come. And so I want to go. I want to take advantage of the opportunity to get out there. And failure to go. Listen, you've probably heard me talk about Calvinism. This is Calvinism. They don't go. They just, well, God's going to save who he's going to save. Nothing we can do about it. No, he said go and teach. And let me just say this. Someone was praying earlier tonight, and I know what they meant, and I'm not going to pick on them for saying it, but we want to be led to the people who want to get saved. It's kind of like when I go fishing, Lord, please help me find the fish that are biting. Right? Because I hate fishing when they're not biting. But can I tell you something? Even if you go and they are not interested, do you know you still did what you're supposed to do? And do you know that one day they're going to stand before God and he's going to say, they talked to you. So our job is to go, and even if they don't listen or don't respond, that's still our job to go. And sometimes a man can be in a community and preach the gospel and nobody listens for years. He's still doing his job. A lot of times, well, he must not be doing something right. Well, could be a very hard place, but our job is to go. Might take a long time before they listen. But go. So don't fail to go. And don't fail to work at it with a clear presentation of the gospel. Again, don't just say, well, you got to have faith. Well, do you believe in Jesus? Listen, the Bible says there's another Jesus. Well, do you believe in God? I mean, that's a start, but let's talk about it in detail. So if you had a tract or something like that, you might, and I'm just going to go very quickly. I'm not even going to have you turn to all the places, but Romans chapter 3, verse 23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I just think you got to start there. We're all sinners. And I'll ask, do you know what sin is? Years ago, I was talking to a lady, I won't say where, but it's in a subdivision in Custer, and I asked if she was a sinner, and she said no. I said, well, do you know what sin is? And she said, I don't believe in sin. Now, I could have said, you're stupid. Well, but you know what? I was trying to remember what I said to you earlier. Well, ma'am, could I leave you something to read? No, I'm not interested. All right, well, I guess if you don't believe in sin, there's not much I can really talk about. You know, all I can do is walk away and be cordial and hope that when she shuts the door, it bothers her. Because I can't help but wonder if she shuts the door and maybe something says, you know you're a sinner. We're all sinners. Quit pretending. But all of sin. And then Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death, the payment for sin. And if they know they're a sinner, then we can talk about wages, which is what you deserve. It's what you have coming to you. And since we're all sinners, we all got death coming to us. The wages of sin is death. The second half of that verse is the good part. But the gift of God is eternal life. And we can talk about that. But when I talk about the wages of sin is death, sometimes I'll stop in the middle of that verse in Romans 6:23 and go over to Revelation chapter 20 where it says, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. So that we're very clear that it's not just a physical death. We all die a physical death, but there is a spiritual death, a second death, which is hell, the lake of fire. And that's where you don't want to go. And so we go back to Romans 6:23 and see the good news. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And obviously the gift is different than wages. Wages you earn, gift is free. And so that leads me to Ephesians 2:8, 9. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of your works. It is a gift of God, not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And so we emphasize gift. John 3:16, God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. So our second failure is when we don't do a good job in witnessing, in sharing truth. We have a right zeal, but then we don't communicate clearly what sin is and what death really is and the need for accepting a gift for salvation. And sometimes we need to stop and take a time out and let them ask questions or just ask them a question. Do you understand what we're talking about so far? Do you understand what it means to receive a gift that's totally free? And I might say, and some people think baptism is what saves you, but it's not a doing thing. You don't do something to get saved. It's not a work that you do. See, they have to be confronted with the message from Jesus. Someone called it confrontational soul winning. It kind of sounds rough, but it is. And that's why sometimes people are not happy with you for talking about it, because they do feel confronted. Don't apologize for that, because Jesus is the one that's offending them. Now, if you are being a jerk, that's different. You should apologize. But if all you're doing is trying to talk to them about the Lord and they're instantly getting upset or frustrated, understand that that's not you. That's God working on them and they're resisting. But it is a confrontation. They have to hear the truth. And anybody who has an honest heart has to stop after the conversation's over and say, they're only talking to me like that because they care about me. There's so many liars out there. Someone who tells the truth is kind of in comfort. And so they have to be confronted. You can't coddle them and pat them on the head and tell them they're okay when they're not. They've got to hear the Savior and the truth of the Savior and the need for salvation, because their sinful condition, without salvation, they're on their way to hell. And then the third failure is if they are saved, but we don't follow up with baptism. We don't talk to them about being baptized and encourage them with the need to be baptized. And of course, you obviously have been baptized, I would imagine, so you're telling them how you got baptized after your salvation. And if you got baptized as a kid and then you got baptized as an adult, you should share that too. That's a good illustration as well. And the last failure is to teach them to go to church, because it says in verse 20, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever. Now, don't hit them with all this the first conversation. The first conversation is just they need to get saved. I don't even push the baptism on them immediately, okay? I want to let them just soak it in for a minute that they got saved and understand that. And that's why when we do this study with the new converts, the first lesson is not baptism, it's assurance of salvation. Then the second step is the baptism, because there's time for that. And then after the baptism, now, and listen, if they got saved and they got baptized, there's something in them saying, well, I got to read my Bible, I got to go to church. There's something in, it's just there's something in them that says, I need to go to church. There's something about it. I need to do that. And there might be extenuating circumstances. Remember Craig Bryan telling about the guy who he gave a tract to and got saved, and then he never saw him again and found out years later he got arrested in some weird way, ended up in jail. I mean, there's sometimes people disappear and you wonder what happened and only find out later they truly were saved. But typically, if they're living in the area and they're not incarcerated, they want to go, but maybe there are some extenuating circumstances. You got to be patient with that. And so let's not fail to teach them and be faithful and be patient. If you ask me, Pastor so-and-so doesn't come to church as much as they ought, what do you think about that? Well, of course I don't like it, but I got to be patient. What can I do? I'm just going to be thankful for when they do come, but encourage them to be more so that they can grow, so they can learn. Somebody said there's four kinds of unsaved people, four kinds of people that you deal with that aren't right with the Lord. Not necessarily all unsaved, but listen to them. First one, they've never heard the gospel. No one's ever gone after them and told them the gospel. That's a terrible shame. And so we have to realize there are people out there who have not heard a clear message of the gospel. They've heard religion, but they've not heard a clear presentation of the gospel. And then there's a lot of these people, and that is, secondly, they've heard it, but they're not saved. And so we need to invite them to understand. And I guess I would say it this way. We need to help them understand that they're not saved. They might be religious. They might have got baptized. But according to the Bible, that they're not saved. And we need to invite them to be saved. And after they're saved, maybe there's some out there that haven't been baptized. They got saved, but that was it. There was nothing afterwards. Encourage them to be baptized. And we have done that. And maybe saved and baptized, but they're not faithfully attending church. And there are people in Custer County like that too. They've decided there is no good church to go to. And you can say, well, come to ours, it's perfect, but that's a lie. What you need to say is, well, you gotta go to church. Christ died for the church. And even though there are churches with hypocrisy, we still need to go to church. It's what God's given us to do. So the best church for me to go to that I think I should go to is where I go. And we have the Bible and we preach and teach from it. And share with them the need to be a part. And you know what? Somebody, I'll never forget our friend Ron. He's in heaven now. He got upset with a Southern Baptist church 40 years ago and sat on his couch and watched TV, religious television on his couch. But after 40 years, he started going to our church, and he was thrilled to be a part of our church, to assemble. That was so much better than sitting on a couch watching impersonal TV. And I don't think anyone has ever said that our church wasn't friendly or welcoming. And so there's a lot of people out there. I was thinking about last night, I was in a Republican meeting last night, a lot of people, and I was thinking, there's so many people in this room I have never seen before. I don't even know them. And I just wonder if maybe they'd go to church if they knew there was one worth going to, because I think some people have decided there isn't a good church out there. Somebody this morning at collating said, I just about got my neighbor talked into coming. They're not happy with where they go to church. And there's a lot of those out there too. Maybe they're not saved and they need to get saved, but maybe they are saved. And they just need a better church to go to. I hope that you and I understand the importance of the main point, though, is go. And when we have a scheduled time, make that time. And we'll try to make it Saturday morning or a Tuesday night or something, or Sunday afternoon, or you pick the time. You tell me what time's good for you. You say, but Pastor, nobody's up at 5 in the morning. Oh, there's a few people up at 5 in the morning. We'll catch them. There's a street walker at 1:30 in the morning watering flowers. We can catch anybody out there. Let's just make time. Isn't that what Jesus did? Jesus said, I need to go see some lady. She's going to be at the well at 12 noon. Well, that's a dumb time of the day to be out at the water well. But Jesus knew that was her schedule, so he met her out there, right? He went. So they're never home on Saturday. Guess they're not going to get saved. Stinks to be you. Should have been home on Saturday. No. If they're not home on Saturday, we need to figure out what day they are home. We need to figure out where they're at. You know, Shrita is praying about a coworker. Nothing wrong with witnessing on your break time at work. I mean, there's all kinds of ways we can be going. And today, I had a tract in my pocket, and I was just kind of mentally thinking and praying, Lord, you know, I'm sure there's somebody I need to give this to. Sure enough, somebody asked me a question. And I, there you go. And then somebody, and then I had some Vacation Bible School flyers stuffed in my, and I saw somebody, I gave them one. There's all, if we'll just go with the understanding that there's probably somebody that needs to hear. We used to have a UPS driver that every time he would show up at our door, he'd say, you got a new one for me? And he was talking about a new tract. And we still, FedEx, UPS, we still try to give them something whenever they stop. And just wherever we go. And purposely go to different cashiers and different tellers. Post office, there's new faces at the post office, and I'm always trying to talk to them and give them a gospel track. I can't just stand there and, you know, have a long conversation while they're working, but to give them something and try to be cordial in the bank or wherever it might be. And there's just ways. You know, you go to Mount Rushmore and the Jehovah's Witnesses are up there with their little map and your routine trying to talk to people. I would love for us to do that in the summer, that we would maybe take some time, not just biker booth time, but some time in the summer where we just go and spend an afternoon out there and just reaching the hundreds that go by. These little How to Get to Heaven from South Dakota with Mount Rushmore on them, perfect. Anyhow, there's lots of ways for us to be going. Are you going? If you're not going, you're disobeying. So let's go. Lord, we thank you for our time together tonight. We thank you for your word. Help us to just go. Help us to go when it's scheduled, when it's not scheduled. Help us to take tracks with us, to think about not just the daily routine of our lives and our busyness and what we want to get done, but to also be remembering that we're talking to someone in the store today. We're going to go in there. We're going to visit with someone. We're going to have a transaction. There's something's going to happen. Help us to be ready with the gospel, with something to share, something to give them. Help us to go. Help us to go to our neighbors, our loved ones. Help us to go to whoever, and help us to teach them and win them slowly, carefully, patiently, but win them, and to share the gospel with them. We ask in Jesus' name, amen.